More than 300 people gathered in Venice for the Save Venice Gala at the end of the summer of 1997. This year, as always, jewelers in St. Mark's extended their hours, knowing that with the Save Venice crowd in town, they were about to have the best week of the year. 10 years had passed since the first gala, when Save Venice had set its sights on restoring the Miracoli Church. The unveiling of the church was scheduled for later in the fall. In its first 10 years, the organization had grown in stature and accomplishment. Its galas were always fully subscribed, despite a ticket price of $3,000, not including hotel and airfare. Its official masthead now sported 13 titled individuals, not just half a dozen. And this year, 8 royals had come to the gala as guests of honor. The 4-day program included a tour of 3 vineyards on the mainland, parties in private palaces, and a full complement of culturally oriented treasure hunts, tours, and lectures. The Fenice Opera Company lent props and scenery for the decor at one of the dinners, and once again Peter Duchin and Bobby Short provided music at the formal ball. As usual, the weather was sultry, and the atmosphere a heady mixture of wealth, luxury, privilege, and power in the midst of the glories of Venice. But this year, there was an undercurrent of gossip about the growing rift within Save Venice. The charges that the Guthries had their hands in the till, although proven groundless, were nonetheless heard around the Cipriani pool. B. Guthrie noticed, or perhaps imagined, that certain people turned their backs when she approached. During a lunch party on the island of Torcello, Bob Guthrie greeted Princess Michael of Kent, who had been a frequent guest at Save Venice parties over the past decade. He addressed her, as he had always done, with her given name, Marie-Christine. The princess stiffened and said, "You should call me ma'am." At the board meeting immediately following the gala, both Bob Guthrie and Larry Lovett brought proxies, each hoping to shift the balance of power in his own favor. However, several members of the board were not ready for a showdown, and they abstained, depriving both sides of a majority. The duel of proxies ended in a compromise. But a brand new controversy had arisen. It had been discovered that Larry Lovett had quietly renounced his American citizenship some years before. He was now a citizen of Ireland and no longer paid American taxes. Several board members were incensed. "If you want to be a philanthropist and lead a life of luxury, fine," said one of them. "But first, you pay your taxes." Terry Stanfill, the chairman of the nominating committee and wife of the former head of 20th Century Fox and MGM, told Lovett she could not in good conscience renominate him for another term as chairman. Lovett protested, but it was a losing battle. The board felt it was unwise for a tax-exempt American charity to be headed by someone the IRS might view as a tax fugitive. Lovett was elected instead to the new position of International Chairman of Save Venice. This, then, was the state of affairs when Lesa Marcello received the good news that the Torta Prize was going to be awarded to Save Venice and Larry Lovett.